Blog Talk Radio.
You know, I love that. I truly love that intro theme. Hey, guys. Good evening and welcome to the Michael Kay Show, TMGS. We're broadcasting live from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6:03 p.m. And today's date on the East Coast, by the way, 6:03 p.m., 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. And today is December the 3rd, 2022. Wow. The year is gone. Like B.B. King said, the year is gone. The year is gone away. Well, he didn't say year, but he did say the thrill is gone. But you know what I'm saying. But welcome and thank you for tuning in and listening to us this evening. We do have a special guest that's going to be joining us at 6:30 at that point of the hour. And I'm seeing where the board is kind of like filling up. I'm getting many of the co-hosts that are chiming in. And what we're going to do in the first 30 minutes, we're going to say hello to each one of us. We're going to say hi. So I'm going to open up some mics. You guys go ahead and hit the number one so I can open your mics. I see the lady of the house is here. The one, the only, Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hey, Janet.
Good evening, Mike. Good evening.
You know, I have to always do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've been... You don't like that, do you? I'm sorry.
Not really.
The other co-hosts say they love it. So I'm going to change it next year, okay? But we do have a guest that's coming on, and he was a guest earlier in the year, and unfortunately we didn't have a much time with him because we had another special guest. Ms. Karen White was on the same day, and I reached out to him and asked him would he come back, and of course he said, of course he will come back, and he's going to be joining us momentarily, and that would be Officer Lane Harper. What this brother does for the community, not only where he is, but in other states, is something that we really need to look at, the positives that happens that officers are doing. We see a lot of stuff of the negatives, but let's look at some of the positives. You know, there's two sides of every story, right? We see the stuff that the media shares of the negatives of officers. And then also we have another co-host here that's joining because he deals with individuals, meaning the young kids, which I want us to get into that more so about our kids. I saw just in the last 2 weeks, kids trying to steal from the store that I work at. Kids live at home. I think I already shared where one was doing theft within the store that worked at the store. She was stealing from the store as an employee. Kids thinking they can get away with it. So let me open the mic to another co-host, and I'm glad that he's here. He's normally here for the first hour, and hopefully he can stay for the second one, but if not, great. He always is knowledgeable, and I think he's very important into the conversation that we're going to have momentarily. So please welcome to the show the one, the only, Timon. Michael, you done started something? Michael, you done started something? Chill.
What's up, Timon? How are you, Mike? Janet, how are you?
Great, great, great. And how are you?
I know you didn't like Mike saying that, did you? You didn't like your intro.
Well, he does it every time anyway.
Now, Janet, don't feel bad. Now, you know my name is Timon, but I've had brothers call me Twyman and Thyroid and everything. They ain't going to ever get it right. So just go with the flow, Janet. You know, I know it bugs you. Yeah, I know it bugs you.
Just go with the flow.
Okay.
Okay. I'll try.
Yeah.
Okay. I got the Twyman part, but the Thyroid? What's the H get into the T and the Y? I don't get that part. Yeah, because you know what? People don't read.
That's because there you go, Mike.
People don't read.
Dude, I just had a couple black people get my name right. I just talked to two black people who actually said my name right. I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, my God. There is. I said, shit, yeah, I went to school, didn't you? Somebody learned. You know, at least the white folks would say, is it Timon or is it Timon? You know, black people just throw anything out there. You know, Pittman, Thyroid.
Well,
my buddy's dad called him Timon for many years.
But if you look at the T and the Y, it always has that I sound, tie. Like if you spell type, T-Y-P-E, tie, P-E, right? Type.
Right.
So you would think the I sound would come. See, and that's the sad part. You know, that's a whole different show where people don't know how to...
Can I say something? Yeah, because my name is Janet, J-A-N-E-T. I've had people call me Janet, Jenny, Janice, Jeanette, everything but Janet. That's why I say my name is Jan. If you can't mess Jan up.
Hold on a minute. The name Janet, Janet, has been spelled the same way forever, right? So how did they get to the point of pronouncing it a totally different way, though?
I don't know. Jeanette.
Jenny?
Everything Janice, everything but Janet.
So now, J A N E T, Now they look at it where the T is silent. Jenny. The T is silent all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in a dictionary, but okay. So see, that's why we have this show. That's why we have this conversation, because the fact that these things happen, and it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. So let's go ahead and move on, because that's a different show. All right. Before our guest joins us, which is going to be in about 20 minutes or a little bit less than that, we have a lot of topics we're going to talk about. But before we get into that, I want to share something with you guys real quick that I found really interesting. Do you know that the FIFA World Cup is going on? You didn't see that coming, right? The Soccer World Championship is going on. Now, think about this. Every 4 years, we have the Olympics, the summer and the winter, where the world comes together, right? Every 4 years. But this soccer thing, and I'm going to be honest, I've never been a soccer fan. Never. I guess as I get older, I'm starting to say, well, I got time on my hands. Let me sit down and watch this shit. And I've been watching it. And I have to say, this is the most amazing game I've ever seen in my life. These people cheer from the moment they get out their car until they go home. In fact, they probably cheer even if their team lose or win. These people are serious about this game. Have you guys been watching any of this? And I'm starting to understand the rules. Yeah, at first
football.
I never really got into it. But yeah, it's really well in other countries they call it football. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They call it football. And I just recently started paying attention to it. I'm like, wow, okay, let me check this out. This is the most popular game in the world. These guys are running up and down a field. Okay, first of all, there's no, well, we didn't score. We're going to bring in another crew of individuals called the defense, right? We're going to bring in our defense. Oh, our defense couldn't stop them. Okay, now we get the ball back like American football, and we're going to bring in our offense. These individuals have to play defense and offense throughout the whole damn game. I find this very interesting, you know? It really is. And it's, so, it's the most popular. I'm sorry?
You said you never watched
it
before?
No, I'm not saying. I've watched it, but I've never paid attention. I never tried to understand it. You follow me? I would look at it, and I would be like, what is it about? But now, as I gotten older and started paying more attention, and I do have some friends who do play it now, because in the past I never did, but I have some friends who play soccer, and they've been sharing with me more understanding of the sport, so I started paying attention. It's just like a person who doesn't know football, the rules of football, and I've always been the type of person where, a point, 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, I guess I should say low scoring. You know, it's not really entertainment to most people in America. But it's just the point of where in this particular game, there's a lot I'm learning that is very interesting. You understand what I'm saying? It's very interesting. You know, these guys are running from one end of the field to the other end of the field, one end of the field to the other end of the field. Of course, they do get substitutions from time to time, but their rules are totally different. It's really interesting, more so than I thought. Timon, have you been watching the World Cup?
No, I played soccer when I was a kid. So, I don't watch it like I did when I was, I didn't pay attention because I played it when I was a kid, but soccer is, unless you're really exposed to it. You know, a lot of guys mm-hmm. aren't into it. You know, a lot of your immigrants and everything, you know, a lot of guys grew up playing soccer or around guys mm-hmm. who played soccer, then they had an understanding of the game. Or if not, they just like some guys started out playing, you know, baseball, but because the popular sport was football and basketball, they switched over and started playing football and basketball. You know, then when a lot of guys start getting really injured, you know, playing, you know, tackle football, you know, they would switch mm-hmm. over and start playing soccer because you didn't get injured as much. You know, in soccer, you don't use your hands. Everything's with your feet. That's another thing.
And your
that's
head.
That's called football.
And your head.
And your head.
And
but
your
yeah,
head.
But that's, yeah, but so, you know.
But what I found interesting is that we're watching these games. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. It's just the way the game is. I mean, that, like I said, it was more of a European sport than it was an American sport. Football, our football, tackle football, was created right here in the United States. Soccer came from Europe.
Right.
But a lot of guys still played it over here in America, too. So, you know, and they were very good at it. We had a lot of great, college and pro. And then we started creating our own teams. But a lot of that stuff was all over in other countries. You know, that was a connection that every country had, you know, whether you're in Africa or whether you're in France or England, they played, they played soccer. But here, American football, basketball, baseball, that was all created right here in the United States.
Correct.
Other than golf, golf was also created in Europe, and then it became an American sport.
But I find it interesting when I'm watching these games because, as I said, I've never been a big fan of soccer. I never really paid attention to it. And now when I'm off work or whatever, I turn on the television. I don't watch these bullshit reality shows. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What's going on with soccer? And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at these cats are getting beat up just like football players. If you look at the instant replay, well, this guy, he slid his foot underneath this guy, and then they collided. They don't have on no damn helmets. You know, they don't have on knee pads. You know, they're actually out here physical.
But, you know, their tackle football was rugby. And rugby is also
But they have no protection.
But they didn't play – I mean, rugby is actually now really coming to the United States, whereas in other countries, rugby is huge, just like cricket. Cricket hasn't made it over here yet. But eventually, you know, if somebody was into it – now, cricket is more British, Indian – you know, some Africans, you know, they play cricket. But that's, you know, and that's a huge sport.
But you know what I found interesting, and I have to say this, is that when you look at American sports, as I already said, in a sense, that when you have offense and defense, you have a different team or a different group of individuals to play offense and defense. In soccer, it don't work that way. It's the same guys running from one end of the field to the other end of the field, right, to protect their goal or score, right? And I'm sure many of you have seen, hopefully, a soccer game. And then you look at it, they don't have the equipment like a football player does. Right, it's a contact sport in football. Football, you expect a high-scoring game. Basketball, you know it's going to be in, you know, a high-scoring game. Baseball, American baseball, it's not a contact sport per se. It really isn't. But a lot of times it's a very low-scoring game. Shit, baseball, they'll play, you know, 10, 12 innings and just get one run because nobody knows how to get to the home plate, right? And people, you know, that's entertaining.
Well, you got to be.
But now I'm looking at soccer. But I just want to finish out. But I'm looking at soccer where it's amazing where the skills that these guys have of not being able to use their hands, just use their feet and their head. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at these two guys go up to hit the ball at the same time with their heads, and their heads collide. One falls on the field. It's like, oh, you know. And then also I'm looking at where the fans, it's amazing where they're cheering and singing throughout the entire freaking match.
Right.
This has got to be the most amazing sport on the planet because it's celebrated throughout the world. It truly is.
Well, that's why guys like Messi is one of the richest athletes in the world. He makes more money than Tom Brady.
Yep.
I mean, you know, or Ronaldo. You know, you got Ronaldo. But, you know, and you got one thing about it, their stamina. See, they're not carrying any pads or anything like that, and they ain't tackling nobody. Okay, so therefore you can last a lot longer playing soccer than you can playing tackle football. You know, they both take a lot of skill. Because to be able to throw a body, you know, you got guys that are 320 pounds. You say, that dude's 320 pounds. But that dude can run a 4.5 40. Your brother took sports to a whole new game.
Well, I just wanted to throw that in there before our guest joins us because we have about roughly 8 minutes before we're going to bring him in. And I think he's here on the board already. And I had asked him to call in at 6:30 Eastern time because I just wanted to kind of like touch on that. I'm finding this very interesting. It's something that I never really got into in other countries, as we already said. It's called football. Y'all, here in America, we have our term of football. It's football in other countries. And when you look at what is called FIFA, right, you don't see a S in that name. Correct, Timon?
Right.
Meaning soccer. They don't use that terminology. No. It's football, right?
Right.
True football.
It's football.
Because football, our football, is only when you're kicking for a field goal. That's when you use your foot. Other than that, you're passing and running.
Right.
And tackling.
Mm-hmm. But the real football is soccer, the term we use, because they only can use their foot and their head. And I'm looking at these games, and I'm looking at the instant replay of how these guys can use their feet to make the golf ball go forward, left, right, backwards. I'm like, that's got to take a lot of damn skill.
It does. They start very young.
It's got to. Yeah. So with that being said, for all of you guys that are listening, I'm really starting to look at soccer or football. And this is an event. I mean, this is the World Cup. And as I said, it just amazes me when you watch a game, these folks are cheering from the beginning to the end. They're singing. They're celebrating. They're playing drums and stuff. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And there's people from America and from China, people from England, you know, that travel to Qatar, I think is how they say it. Some folks say, you know, they pronounce it differently. For this event,
call it Qatar.
From all over the world. Calcutta, yeah. There's a lot of ways that folks say it, you know. But for this event, I would love to really be there and just check out the experience of it. Because as I'm watching it on television, it's amazing to me.
They got games
that
in
these
Atlanta,
folks
they got a soccer fight. Team in Atlanta, Mike.
But yeah, no. What I'm saying that I know that. I mean, we have you. We have. Trust me, we have Atlanta United. I know that. I'm just saying that where the feel and the atmosphere of this World Cup thing is much more than Atlanta United, right? I would love to go to an event like this, what I'm looking at now, where the world, you know, because they're down to the last 16. But anyway, I got a caller here at 209-689. I'm going to open up their mic, and we have 4 minutes before our guest is going to join us. And by the way, there are individuals that are going to be joining the show during the broadcast, and make sure that you know the rules. Make sure that there's no background noise, please. It definitely does make a difference for the quality and the sound of the show. And, you know, open up your mic. I'll open it from my end. And if you're not speaking, just hit the number one and put yourself on mute, and then hit the number one again to come off of mute. It's very simple. Okay, so 209-689. I'm going to open up your mic right now. And hello, welcome to the show. I don't recognize the number. What's your name? And
that's going to be a problem because we went through this last week, Michael. Hey, everybody, it's the girl, Cotton Gamble.
Hold on, stop. Wait. Put on the brace. Hold on. Put on the brace. Please welcome a co-host and a host of her own shows here on the TMGA is Cotton KC Campbell. But see, you changed your number. Hello, Cotton. How you doing?
Yes, I did. Hi. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Cotton. How are you?
Hey.
I'm good. I'm good. Hey, Miss Janet.
Hey, sweetie. You changed your number?
I did change my number.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I did. I'll have to send it to you because I don't think I've posted it in the group. I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
See, I'm not the
give me,
okay.
Give me a reminder for Thursday.
I'm not the bad guy. I said I saw this number, but I wasn't sure. But you just recently change it because of a issue of losing your phone and everything. But that's cool. But hey, Cotton, how you doing?
I'm good, everybody. I'm doing good. I just started imagining you playing soccer, like I heard.
No, I'm not saying I'm going to play it. I'm really getting interested in this whole thing because it is really the most popular sport in the world.
Is it?
Let me bring. Hold on a minute. Let me bring. Timing back on. Timing. What do you think is the most popular sport in the world?
Well, soccer is because of its worldwide, but our basketball is right up there with it because basketball is also a world sport.
You know, exactly.
Football is not. We play pro football in like England. A team will travel, send a couple of teams over to play a couple of games over in England. But as far as the most popular sport, you know, it's golf, soccer, and basketball.
Mhm. Well, yeah, right,
and
right.
But
here's the thing. When I say the most popular sport, I'm not talking about. I'm saying that when it's integrated, when you work or when you compete nationally, soccer, I believe, is the number one. Now, what Timon just said definitely is true. Is that where right now the NFL is trying to, or there was conversation of trying to have a team in England. Recently, every year, you have where NFL teams go over to England, right, to London and play. Those games are broadcast around 9 a.m. in the morning based on, you know, the time frame. So there has been some conversations or talk about probably having an NFL team And plus, I have to say, keep in mind, many of these teams are privately owned. That will be great, okay? The NBA, privately owned. But soccer, it's bigger than, I think, all of them. It's bigger, if I'm wrong. Because you don't have an NFL team in Croatia. You don't have an NFL team in Mexico. But you do have soccer teams. This is big.
Well, time is that basketball was right along with soccer because that's more like international, I guess, also.
Yeah, right, and that's true. The game is international, but, you know, when you're talking about integrating, what I'm saying is that integrating, you know, this FIFA World Cup comes every year, right? Right, so it's a competition between, you know, your countrymen from, you know, against other countries. And their whole thing is so different than what we do in basketball here in the United States and even in other countries. There's so much that we could talk about it, but I just look at it where, and timing is right, but where, you know, when you look at the one sport that has so many athletes, this thing goes on for weeks. The FIFA World Cup goes on for weeks. They got so many different categories, and you know, like in the NFL, you have different conferences and everything. That's an American sport, but when you're talking about FIFA, you know, you have so many. What is the term that they use? I got to look it up, but you could lose a game, right? And some folks would think that, well, you lost a game against the number one team, but based on, you know, the scoring type thing, you still might be eligible for being in the top 16. Timon, correct me if I'm wrong. That's what I'm reading, right? It's not lose and go home. You could lose the game and still be in the running. That's what's interesting to me, and I'm learning it more and more. But anyway, let me go back to that's more than I guess I want to share. So our guest should be here now. Now the time is 6:33. And if our guests on the board, I want them to go ahead and number one on their phone so I can go ahead and connect you directly to the board. Okay, so waiting for our guests to chime in. Now, what we're going to also talk about, we're going to talk about some of the more current things. As you guys know about the situation that happened in Mexico, the young lady who was murdered by her friends, which I think is one of the saddest things. It's really sad. A lot of social media went ahead and said that there was an arrest prior to an arrest. But, Janet, you shared with me about there has been one recently, so I'm
well,
glad to
I
see
had
that.
I had to check it out, and I'm still not sure, but I sent you two articles about it because it was – you can't just go by what they say on social media like we talked about earlier, you know. So I know we should know something probably by tomorrow or Monday for sure.
By tomorrow, Monday. Okay.
Well, you know, because I looked, you know, several times and it wasn't definite.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I saw that was was, you know, I sent you two different articles, and it was mostly social media. And then when I did fact-finding, it didn't really say that it was true, you know. And they took that site down where this lady, I can't right now think of her name, was saying that this person was arrested because of that fight. So why did they take the site down? I mean, they took the, you know, unless it wasn't really true.
Well, you know what, and I agree with you. That's kind of interesting to find out more about it. So our guests, I don't see them on the board, so I'm going to make a direct call to them, and because I know they were working on some things, so bear with me just a moment. I'm going to make a direct call with them, and then we'll be right back. You're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. And it's the holiday season, so let's get into the groove. This is In Vogue with Silent Night.
I'm
welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And that was In Vogue with their version of Silent Night. I like that funky groove. I'm going to be honest with you. So we had to take a music break. And let's see, I think our guest is here on the board. And I want our guest to go ahead and hit the number one. I see you pop up, and I can open your mic. And then I see a 11111 number on the board. Janet, you know what that means, right? The 111?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We call them, well, actually, Jay King came up with the term, so I'm going to give respect. Secret squirrels. So you got some secret squirrels here on the board. That's cool. They get their number one, and I'll open up their mic. So our guest, Officer Harper, let me make sure I got his number here on the board. If you can hear me, go ahead and hit the number one. I can see where the board is going to let me know that you are waving your hand for me to open up your mic. There we go. Here he is. All right. Okay, so you guys, this gentleman, this officer, Officer Harper, was on the show before. And honestly, I made the mistake of booking him the same date I had a music icon on. And we didn't really have enough time to really talk to him. TV shows do the same thing sometimes. If you ever pay attention, they'd be like, hey, thanks to so-and-so for being here. Sorry they weren't on. They'll be on next week. Well, fortunately, we've had him on this Saturday. Officer Harper, he has a lot more to share with us that we did not have a chance to really talk to him about when he was on before. So without further ado, and the foundation that he works with, amazing. Janet, you saw what he works with. So without further ado, please welcome to the show Officer Lane Harper.
Okay, studio audience. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
How you doing, sir?
You know, they just want to cheer on me. How you doing, sir? Thank you so much, and welcome back to the show. We truly appreciate you.
Welcome back. Happy holidays.
Same to you and to everyone. Man, you have done some things, it's been a while since we had you on, as I said, and I'm hearing some noise in the background. I don't know where the noise is coming from, so please, if it's one of the callers or listener, and if it's yourself, sir, please try to limit the noise. You were on the show before, and I apologize that I booked you on the same Saturday that Karen White was on and everything, but I definitely want you to come back because I'm looking at what you do. In the community and everything. Really want to talk with you about you being an officer. You see, you have to deal with the crime, the robberies, the killings, and this and the other. You and I had talked just recently. Really, I want to talk about in our communities, the Black community. First and foremost, I want you to introduce yourself to everyone who's listening, who you are, so they can get a gist of what we're going to get into.
Okay, well, my name is Lane Harper. I've been policing for approximately almost 18 years. I reside in Alabama, the lovely state. Originally born in New Haven, Connecticut, and raised in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So culturally, I think I was able to be blessed with seeing so many different venues of living life. I'm an instructor. I'm a martial arts instructor. I travel around the world and teach police departments all over self-defense and hand-to-hand combat tactics. So we're using a lesser amount of force when it comes to handling citizens
and doing our job. I'm also a de-escalation instructor. I've taught at Yale University, Hampden Police Department, Florida, Texas, San Juan, Puerto Rico, and et cetera. I love my job.
Mm-hmm.
I love the community. And I also have a nonprofit called the Power of Life Foundation. And what we do is gear our energy and focus on transients, homeless community, veterans, people who are living at or below poverty level, and then anyone who needs
mm-hmm.
help. Probably around 3 weeks ago, we just did a coat giveaway at Alabama State University where we gave over 750 coats away to college students, makeup, coach purses, Kate Spade purses, socks, personal hygiene
mm-hmm.
items, anything you can think of, just to let people know that you can see me as a police officer, but I'm just human. And there's so many things that I'm capable of doing besides police.
I'm sorry to intervene, but I'm saying
yes, sir.
This had nothing to do with the police department. This was a foundation that you're affiliated with, that you work with, that has really nothing to do. I'm not going to say that the police department doesn't contribute, but this is something outside of the police department, right? This came from you and other individuals that decided to do something for the community.
Right. It was just me and one other person. Yeah, it's just me and one other person. I'm the executive director, and my assistant director is Ms. Teresa Berger. So it was just us two that
mm-hmm.
started the foundation, and that's us two that are carrying the foundation. We have several sponsors such as Amazon, Walmart, Bombas socks, Kate Spade, Coach, Reebok. So we're just blessed to be a blessing to other people who are less fortunate.
Wow.
And letting people know that it's not about you anymore. It's about reciprocity. And actually, don't just speak on it, live on it. Treat people like you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody deserves a little respect.
And you know what? I'm glad that you said the word respect, because that's something we need more in our communities, okay? Because I applaud you and the individual that you at, Teresa. I don't know if she's on the board. She knows that we're on air. Teresa, if you're on the board, go ahead and hit the number one. I will open up your mic. I see some 205 numbers here on the board, so, you know, I don't know who is who, and then I see the 111 number. The secret squirrel, that's what we call them, the ones who chime in to the show with those type of numbers. I really like what you're doing, and I wanted to have this conversation with you and let folks know that, you know, when you hear the term police, people are like, oh, they're bad, you know, there's a lot. It's not that way. I just spoke with my nephew and my sister-in-law who worked in law enforcement. They left, and I'm not going to mention their names and everything. I asked them to come on, and they were like, they have to deal with some things. But one of them is going to, you know, listen in maybe to the show because they dealt with certain departments that were definitely racial, according to their stories. You know, and when they both say that, there's got to be some truth to the matter. We'll get into that later, but I'm seeing where folks are waving their hands. 205-478 out of Beham, Birmingham, Alabama. I don't know who this is, but I'm going to open up your mic. Welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us. Who's calling? And hello. 205-478, your mic is open. 205-478.
Oh, I just said I'm just here listening to the show and enjoying it and hoping it will be informative and inspirational. Thank you.
And who is this? And who is this calling? Can you say your name?
It's Gwen, Mr. Mike.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gwen. Well, thank you so much. I see that you hit the number one, so I thought you had a question or comment. 11111. I don't know who that is, but if you have a question or comment, go ahead and hit the number one. And also in the chat room, remember, you can go to the chat room if you don't want to be on air live and talk live. You can go to our chat room, post your questions or comments for our guests, and I'll read them on the air. Okay, so seeing that, you know, there's a few folks here, of course, my co-host and everyone. Officer, I'm sorry. I have to kind of like tie this all together, because Officer Harper, you work in law enforcement, but also one of my co-hosts here works with kids in a different, you know, thing once they get arrested and everything. And I want you to introduce you to him, which is Mr. Timon Shipp. Timon, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I'd like to, you know, get you guys to converse. Timon works with individuals that are in, you know, kid
juvenile jail,
I guess is the best way to say it. Juvenile. Right. I'm sorry,
juvenile,
but it's
criminal.
Kid jail. Right.
No.
And juvenile.
Right.
Officer Harper, I'm sure you've had to arrest a few kids who are out of control and everything. What is it, if you get a chance to talk to them, to these kids, you know, what is it that they tell you why they did it and this, that, and the other when you get to interview them? I would think that time would have more time to do so, but what do you see is going on with the juveniles, our young kids?
Okay.
For them to get into what I'm saying, when you have to arrest them, and we're going to get to the better part, but when you have to deal with arresting a juvenile, and then the process, once they're forwarded over to a person like Timon, who has to deal with them at that point. You understand my point or my question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me know when you're ready. I'm ready.
I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I used to work at the juvenile court system. Also, I used to be a juvenile detention officer. So I used to work with juveniles at an early age, from the age of 5 to 15 or 16, depending on their crime. We had children at 16 who've also committed murder, but we'll have them at the juvenile facility just for processing, and then they get shipped over to the county. But my interaction with juveniles and children, I try to have a positive interaction every time, because they're coming from such a negative environment. Not all your children are in negative environments. Sometimes they just make bad decisions and have a bad crowd of friends. So me interacting with children, I try to stand firm as a man stood before me, and that's my father. So anything that I can emulate or transpire into another juvenile that was given to me, I want that juvenile, female or male, to know that they're loved and that they're cared for, and there is a level of respect for an adult. I think through our through these last years, my dad just had his 80th birthday, so we talk about legacy. We're losing the legacy of raising our children, meaning the punishment doesn't or no longer equals up to the crime that's being committed. There's so many people who are getting away with murder, but if you have an ounce of marijuana, you're locked up for 15 years. But if you kill someone, you're out in 5. So what part of the justice system do we need to look at? And what can we do out here as individuals in society to make this fruition come to pass? It's family upbringing, structures. You can't touch your children anymore. Back in the day, we used to get spankings. We used to have to listen to the neighbors. We used to have to comply. Everybody, all the parents on that same street or that same apartment that you lived in worked together. We don't even know our neighbors anymore. We're scared to go across the street because you're looking at somebody funny. So there's so many different angles that we can look at this from, but
the conversations that I have with the juveniles that I deal with are positive, and you find out that some people are far gone, and you find out that some juveniles just made a bad decision. Most of them are very well educated, but they're just watching or following the wrong person. And a lot of them are not self-thinkers. So many of our juveniles are looking for someone to follow. There's no positive role models to follow. What can we watch on TV? The Cosby Show is gone.
Right.
Is he a positive role model? But, hey, let's go back to the Brady Bunch.
Because I want to bring in, and I'm sorry, I just want to, because, well, you're available for us for the duration of the show, so I appreciate that. But what you said earlier part is that where you followed what your dad shared with you. I was fortunate to have my dad, and my dad lived to be 91 years old. But then we have to think about the kids who don't have a dad. And you know, that's a society that we live in now where there's no parent or no father at home, or better yet, even parent. There's even no mother at home. The kids wind up being raised by the grandparents because mama wants to be out there in the club and partying this, that, and the other. So, you know, we have to think about that aspect of the whole thing. If you don't mind, I want to see if Timon has a comment on that, because he works with juveniles on a daily basis. Timon?
Yeah. Well, you know, dealing with juvenile criminals, which I've been dealing with for over 30 years at the L.A. County Probation Department, you know, and you know, Lane is right. You know, structure, for me, is structure and discipline. You know, what they've done with the child advocates and the psychs and everybody, you took away. I don't mind the programs or what they're trying to do. They're trying to rehabilitate them, but you cannot rehabilitate the criminal without structure and discipline. The structure and the discipline keeps everybody safe. If there are no consequences for the kids, you just can't hand them laptops and give them Xboxes and give them stuff that they didn't have at the house. They have to know how to respect people and the staff. And what we used to hire in probation, we don't hire no more. We used to hire ex-football players, ex-basketball, with people who had book knowledge as well as street knowledge. You know, and when the child advocates and everybody got involved and you just said, hey, you can't put your hands on these kids, well, these kids will hurt you. These kids are dangerous. They're in here for a reason. And I've seen staff get brutally beaten. We're not allowed to use martial arts, which now, you know, today you need hand-to-hand. You need to be able, because you're hiring a lot more females than you are males. And so these boys are socking females and putting their hands on them. And everybody's, oh, I understand him. And I know they don't. Not if they're sneaking in, you know, they're sneaking in the cell phones. They're sneaking in the vape pens, and everything's out of control. And then you're blaming the staff. You're making the staff the scapegoat. You can't even run a juvenile department without the right staff, without the structure and discipline to deal with these kids. I don't care how bad he is, but if he know that, hey man, you know, there are rules and regulations and things that we have, but you got to be able to take care of your people. The staff are just as important. They're putting more of an emphasis on the kids. You got to have a staff in there that's going to sit there and deal with that. And if you ain't got it, the kids are now running the asylum. And when they know that they got that, you know, they got the lawyers and they can sit back and sue you, or they can file a complaint, and that staff is now under investigation and they're about to lose their job and, you know, and all these different things. It ain't always about the money. Staff don't feel safe. The staff don't feel safe. So who's
right?
You know, if the staff don't feel safe, well, who going to deal with Junior? And this boy's sitting up, he's lifting weights, and now y'all done gave him laptops and Xbox. Why is a murderer being able to play Xbox all day?
Okay, can I say something on that?
Go ahead.
I'm so with you. And that's what our self-side conversations are about. You want us to execute at the high – when I say you, I'm speaking of institutions – want us to execute – mm-hmm. at the highest level of control. However, when we perform and exercise what it is that you're asking for us to do, police department, juvenile detention facilities, you have some of your greatest employees being reprimanded for some of the most simplest things. So you're losing so many great employees, the employees that you need to stay, over small errors or something that cannot be articulated correctly, even though that the action was correct. So the action is correct, but however, sometimes we're not able to explain exactly how it transpired. So you're losing a lot of good officers in the juvenile system. You're losing a lot of good officers on the street because we feel as if we have no backing. We have no support.
Well, why is that happening? Why is that happening? Why is that happening is the question. I'm sorry to intervene, but, you know, you hit on a great point. Why is that happening? Both of you have shared something that is very real and very much is the reality of it. But why is it happening? And I really want to say that because, see, what I'm looking at is what's happening in our black communities, okay, is happening more so. We are the minority in the community, but we are the majority in the jail system, in the judicial system. Why is this happening? How come we are not able to correct the problem? And we see it in front of us. Now, I want to be able to let some of the callers and the co-hosts chime in and respond and have their questions and comments. Also, we're going to change up a little bit, you know, because I want to talk about the negatives. I really wanted to talk about the positives first, but let's get through the negatives that we have to deal with and confront. And then I want us to talk about the positive, especially of what you're doing, Officer Harper, in not just your own community, but in other states, in their communities, okay? So,
yes, sir.
I mean, Why are we dealing with this? We see all the murders recently here in Atlanta. Two teenagers, 14, 15, 16 years old, was shot down here in Atlanta, okay, at the, what is the name of the place, Janet? Damn it, it's on the tip of my damn tongue. I'm sorry. I'm looking at something else and everything. Oh, at the station. One was shot dead. Other one went to the hospital, and he died just recently. And he didn't even live to be 20. Neither one of them lived to be of legal age, 18. They're dead. They didn't even live to be legal age. And when I look at these updates of what's going on, I'm hearing all this thanks to the investigation of this end of it. No, tell me what happened here. Why did this happen? How do we correct the problem? How do we correct this problem of these shootings of innocent individuals? If you look at the whole story, neither one of them had a gun on them. So that's what I want to talk about and understand. Everybody got quiet. And of course, I could say, Timon lives in L.A., which he already told you, in California. We're here, most of us are here in Atlanta. But the same shit is going on across the country. The same shit is going on across the country.
I just want to say these children would rather have more clout than be alive. There are so many people that want to be noticed for doing wrong versus being alive. We were raised to take care of our parents and grandparents. These children don't even know who their parents are because, like you said earlier, they're being raised by their grandparents. So it's just
okay. Now we're on point. Now we're on the reality of what these kids, okay.
Also, Mike,
are looking at life as they're not looking at life the way we did. They're not being raised the way we were. Okay, now we're on point. Go ahead, sir.
Also, Mike, locking up kids is big business. You know, to house a kid in juvenile
anybody
hall.
Anybody's big business.
No,
locking up anybody is big business. We already know that.
No, but locking up a juvenile, Mike, it costs $300,000 to house one minor in juvenile hall. You're not spending money to educate him. You're spending money to lock him up. You can't just throw any type of program. We're making money off the breaking down of the family structure. If the family structure is destroyed, that's where he ends up good. And that which makes them vulnerable to gangs, it makes them vulnerable to being followers and being caught up. But I don't care if it's just, I see it. You know, I see it every day.
Right.
I've been dealing
right.
with it for years.
Can you say this? I'm sorry. So you said $300,000 is how much it costs to lock up a kid, right? And for how much period of time are you talking about? And who pays for that?
Depends on the severity of his crime. Now they just want to release him.
But who pays for that lock?
The tax dollar pays for it. That's tax money. Everything is through the money that we pay the state. Yeah, it's through the family. It's through the taxpayer pays for everything. Okay, and like I said, if you're not getting your knowledge from your, if you're not listening to the actual detention service officers who are working in these facilities and letting you know, they're trying to control probation from the outside looking in. You got to talk to the staff. You got to see what the needs are. You got to talk to the people who are living it every day. And if you ain't talking to them and following their what they're trying to show you, you're going to have problems. You're going to have major problems. Let me tell you, you got a 17, 18-year-old kid that's been sitting around doing push-ups and sit-ups all day, and, hey, he ain't trying to listen to nobody and everything. That kid needs structure. He needs discipline. He needs guidance. And if he ain't getting the mentoring that is, because we get a lot of talented kids. There's a kid down at my job right now. Shoot, he could be your next Picasso. He sketches so well, but guess what? He's in for murder.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Whoever it was that was mentoring him or guided him into gangs, he ended up hanging with the wrong people. Next thing you know, somebody gets killed. Now he's sitting in jail for murder. Now, is there help for him? Sure it is. Your tax dollars are making sure that he goes to college. But how did he get to college? He still got to have the mentoring to get in there. And when you release him out of juvenile hall, he's going back to the same neighborhood that he came from. Okay, and if there's no one to change that outcome, he's going back to do the same thing and hang with the same people that he was already in with,
right.
And it just repeats
exactly.
itself. If we lock up the father, we're going to get the son. If the mother's dating thugs, the daughters end up dating thugs. I've seen it over and over again. They need 24/7 guidance, man. If they ain't gonna get it, guaranteed they are susceptible to everything that is going on, and you got to find a way to control it. And if you don't, then they just go. You just can't keep throwing money at it.
I'm on
you. I want to go ahead and let Officer Harper chime in on, because he is our special guest. And thank you, Tyvin, for being here for this conversation. I'm looking at the board. There's a lot of folks that are listening. And I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening, because to me, this is a very important conversation, and having these individuals who work in law enforcement and in juvenile detention centers here at the same time to share with you, you know, what they experience. Okay. So I'm going to put the ball back in your court, Officer Harper. I want to go ahead and talk about these things that are going on, and then we want to talk about the things that you have offered or that your foundation offers, you know, throughout not just in Birmingham but other states. But let's wrap this up here what Tyman just said, in the juvenile system, we have to look at where these kids, because I want to say this real quick. I work at Walmart, you guys. You all know it. Many of you know it. If you don't, well, now you do. I work in the electronics department and the photo lab, which is all in one. And, of course, electronics is the most – it's the high thing, right? You know, computers, whatever, speakers and everything. Folks are breaking in the, you know, stuff and everything, you know, trying to steal it. Just in one in 2 days' time, there was an individual or a group of individuals, they work in pairs, trying to steal something that was only like $169. That's what the value of it was. Then here's some young kids, three of them. I noticed they were looking in this area, and I said, hey, you need some help? No, we're okay, everything. Come to find out, they got stopped at the exit door because AP was watching on the camera. And they stole, they were trying to steal a phone case. A freaking phone case. But while they were doing it at that one exit, here's an older gentleman trying to steal a bunch of shit and run out the other door. While the sergeant, follow me on this one now, the sergeant was dealing with the kids, had her lights on at the other exit. Another individual's trying to steal at the other exit. And the moment she got on her walkie-talkie, because I was standing there, and said what was going on, I heard sirens just immediately. Because right across the street was what they call a QT, right, which is like a convenience store. Cops hang out at those places. And they were there instantaneously. I mean, it was amazing to me. I'm like, really? You're going to try to rob a store after somebody's being arrested from robbing? And the thing is, what I'm trying to say to make you understand, it's sad when people are stealing, period. Now, for me, if you're stealing food, I feel for you. I really do. If you're hungry, I feel for you. I would really buy you the food if I could. I would buy you the food if you're hungry. But if you're stealing 15, 20 damn steaks, no, you ain't eating all that shit. You trying to go ahead and buy, steal that shit to resell it, right? And if you're stealing electronics and stuff like that, no, you're not stealing it for your own good. You're trying to fence it. But here's young kids stealing shit, and I asked a person this one question. What would be worse for you if you were caught stealing and you had to go to – or if you had a choice of either going to jail or what would be the worst thing, going to jail or what else? Facing your mama and daddy, right? That's the answer I got. If I had to choose between facing my mama and daddy and going to jail, I'd rather go to jail. That's what some folks said. They said, hey, take me to jail. I don't want to face my mama. But I asked that question from folks who were older. They said, because my mama wouldn't deal with that. But if you ask a younger person, they'd be like, now I'm going home. Because they know that they can overrule their mama and daddy and fuss with them. It's a society that we're in where the kids rule the household in some situations. I'm not trying to get off point, but you understand what I'm saying. Those situations do happen of where the parents are not parents. They're not parents. They're not parenting their kids. They had children, and they do not have control. And then they want to say, they want to throw up their hands. Right? I'm sorry.
Mike's on?
Guess everybody. No, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, this is what I see. And correct me if I'm wrong.
I think you're right. I think you're right, but the gentleman out of California, he hit on several things. And what stuck out to me is education, guidance, mentoring is the key for rehabilitation. We're investing in jails, but we're not teaching anything inside. I'm talking about juvenile through adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
The trades,
right.
Who's interested in a trade? And then what the gentleman also mentioned, these kids got laptops, PlayStation 5. I don't know. I think that's the newest one out. I stopped at Atari. But they're playing video games.
But when you said that.
They're playing video games.
I was just going to say they're playing video games,
but they can't communicate with people.
Who you were talking about was Time and Ship, which he dropped, but he's back on now, so he can hear what you're saying. But yeah, just go forward. Right. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was just saying that Tommy hit on educational guidance, mentoring is the key for rehabilitation. And I just said he also mentioned that children are in these juvenile facilities, city misdemeanor, sheriff department, felonies, misdemeanors, felony crimes where we're stationed. And they're getting laptops. They're getting all kinds of stuff, PlayStations. These are people who've just killed your family member. And out here in the society, and COVID exposed this, the society is not really ready to teach anymore. So we're giving these children computers, and now they have no communication skills. Nobody knows how to talk to anybody, and everybody operates through computers. Nobody knows how to do a field interview, a face interview anymore. We're Zooming. We're doing everything by internet. So when you go to an interview, what is their attire? Nobody knows anymore. They got to watch YouTube in order to figure out how to dress when you actually appear for an interview because nobody has social skills anymore.
You know what? They don't have an attire. They wear what they want to wear. You know, it's interesting that you said that because I've had some individuals that will come up in my department and say, do you know who so-and-so is? I'm like, yeah, I'm here for an interview. And I'm like, and I look, and they got on a hoodie, which is really the worst thing to have on. Okay. I'm sorry. I have to say that. You don't, I mean, you could wear it, but don't have the hoodie on, take it off. It's like where you don't wear a hat, you know, in certain rooms, you know, but you brought up a good point of where, you know, the attire, you got on jeans, dirty jeans, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, but then we have to look at where maybe sometimes that individual doesn't have a better attire. They're just trying to get a job. Sometimes we have to look at that, right? So I got a text just a moment ago. But if you guys don't mind, and I really appreciate this conversation because Officer Harper, I definitely want you to share what your foundation and what the foundation is doing. But I just wanted to get through this here of what we're looking at and what we're talking about right now in the communities, right? That's what's important. And then we're going to get into what you have to offer to help the communities that you've been helping. I want to go ahead and see if the lady of the house, Miss Janet Davis, has something to say, a response, or either a question. Janet, you there?
Yes, but it wasn't anything to do with what you guys are talking about right now. This is just about... well, I was just wondering, because when I looked at some of the things, the write-ups about you, it was saying that you train, I guess, security firms?
Yes, ma'am.
Education. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, are you training them for them to be able to just do their jobs a lot better or more effectively, what are some of the things that you train them in?
Okay. Well, what I do, I travel around. I travel. I teach law enforcement. I teach FBI. I teach special agents. And I also teach martial arts here at a home base. Mm. However, what I do, according to what it is that they're looking for, I try to exercise that training. Everybody doesn't operate at the same frequency, so you have to train to the level of what's requested. So the training is a little bit different sometimes. Like for police officers, we're training proper restraints, or how can we do a restraint with less injuries. FBI, special agents, they're learning how to eliminate the threat as quickly as possible. One of my job assignments this year, before this year is over, I had Condoleezza Rice. She was the person I was working for. So my responsibility was to take care of her. I had her for 12 hours. Anything that happens to her has to go through me. So my job is to eliminate the threat. So there's different levels of training for different departments. But what I do, I do women's self-defense classes. I do a lot of fraternities, sororities. I do a lot of high-class security for clubs, for different clubs and different venues. Even some concerts, they'll pay for a quick training before they have a big event take place at their facility. So it's just, I've been doing martial arts probably over 42 years, 43 years. And it's just a compilation of martial arts, boxing, PPCT, pressure point control, grappling. And it's just, some people want to learn how to fight without going to the ground. Some people want to take their fight directly to the ground. So it's just whatever it is that you need. And then I have my own programs that I can share with people to let them engage in those activities.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Seem like you're a very busy person to be able to do all that. Yeah, and train all these different firms and just people in law enforcement in general. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Okay, so there was a few other folks I think that might want to chime in and ask you a couple of questions. And I open up a bunch of mics here. And if you guys have any questions for Officer Harper, you're welcome to go ahead and post your questions or better yet, let me make sure. I'm trying to scroll down the board. Okay, so there's a bunch of mics that are open. By the way, in the chat room, Bring It Boy says, hold up the law. Well, Bring It Boy, that's what we're talking about, holding up the law, but making sure that law is right. This guest that we have here, he's doing that, okay? He's putting his life on the line all the time. Also, we're going to get into it. Because I look at it where, as I already said, and I'll say it again since you didn't catch it, is that we're going to talk about certain things, and then we're going to talk about, you know, the negatives, and then we're going to talk about the positive things that this officer is doing for not just his own community, but many others in other states. So, read, watch, learn. All right, so I have some mics open. If anybody whose mic is open has a question or comment for our guest, go ahead, feel free to share it now.
Hey, this is Cotton. I do have a question. I might have two questions.
Thank you, Cotton.
I don't know.
go right.
Officer Harper, thank you for doing, 18, you said 18 years, right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's a long time. You're good. My question is, and this is may just be your opinion or whatever, but my question is, for the child, I don't know if anybody heard, but the child that shot, the 10-year-old that shot his mother, is there anything that he or anybody in the community, the school, could have done to maybe foresee or prevent that type of thing from happening? Because as I believe Timon spoke on earlier, we and you as well. We can't whoop our children. I mean, it wouldn't stop me, but you can't whoop your children anymore. And the village isn't raising our children anymore. The computers are, social media is, internet is. But do you think that there may have been something, and as well as for the Walmart manager guy, because apparently there's some going on there. And this is happening. It seems like it's happening more with our young men than our young ladies.
Okay. Where did that incident transpire?
Which one?
The child who shot the 10-year-old. That was where? Hello?
I'm sorry. I forgot where it was, but...
Okay.
Let me look for it. I can find
it. It doesn't matter, because what I'll say is, you asked, are there certain signs? So a lot of parents, grandparents, are not focused on the people that we're taking care of. When I grew up, my parents took the door off of the hinges and said, no doors will be closed in my house. That's not beating your child. That's just letting them know you don't pay any bills here. But I think that's me joking. But let me stay serious. It's just, you have to understand, the children that I work with in the daytime, they draw pictures. When you see these pictures, as Tommy was saying, that the juvenile could be a Picasso in California, ask these children, what does that picture mean? What's in that picture? I've seen pictures of sun and vehicles and football games, places these children want to go. I've seen knives and cars crashing, and they tell me that their dad was drunk and got in an accident and totaled the car. And, well, they don't say total. They'll say crash the car. I've seen children drawing with knives, and they say they want to kill their brothers and sisters. So there's things that we're seeing in the school. And the teachers are very aware, but we're talking about juvenile systems not having the support. Going into the school system, that's a whole other thing. So if the teacher reports what's going on with the child, there we go back to the perfect parent that thinks they got the perfect child, and they say, no, that's not my baby doing that. So I think a lot of people on the outside need to let the teachers actually begin to teach again. But we also have to understand that there's a lot of teachers who are just there just to be there, because they don't have any backing or support either. And their words and answers and opinions aren't valued. So everybody's working out of a bubble. So I think just people coming together collectively and actually really sitting down and having a round table between social workers, psychologists, principals, attorneys, lawyers, judges, juvenile judges, where we can all actually have collective conversations in every state that actually mean something, not just coming together to discuss, but to put action behind the discussion. We have so many great opinions. But what
great
I found
point,
out, what I found out is so many people have so many great ideas, but nobody wants to let it go forth if they're in charge because it wasn't their idea. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yes.
Truth be told. Yeah. And I have to intervene on that because, see, what you just said is very true. You know, because I sit back, you know, personally, I sit back and I think about this, and that's like when we're having this conversation. So I thank you, and I thank everyone else who has participated in this conversation, which that's what we need to do. But when you talk about, you know, where, you know, the teachers not getting paid enough and this, that, and the other and everything. Then you look at where we have two judicial systems. We have adult prisons and juvenile, right? So you already know that, you know what I'm saying, is that where we already know that there's going to be some young kid who's going to commit a crime and everything. But why are they doing this? And why are they doing it more often you're getting more teenagers going, I'm serious, than adults getting arrested. More teenagers are getting arrested than adults. Am I right or wrong?
I think you're right, because for
more
juvenile kids. Punishment.
And the killer part, and the killer part is that a lot of them are not homeless. They don't live in, and there's a lot of them who living in a good home with a family. I'm not going to say for sure, but I've seen, and I know a lot of people in law enforcement like yourself and everything. I talk to a lot of folks, and it's like, you'd be surprised, Michael, of how many of these kids have everything they need, but they have this urge to get out here and commit a crime. Why is that? Go ahead, sir. I want
is,
you to go ahead and
is
respond.
Is that question for me?
Yeah. I mean, why is that? Why is it where there are individuals who are not, you know, poor, that actually live in nice homes. Their parents got good jobs, but and they got almost everything they want, but these kids want to go out here and just steal or commit a crime. Why is that?
I think that probably while growing up, a lot of children that we're dealing with and interacting with on a daily basis have no boundaries at home. What they say goes. What the young lady said, these children are running homes. It doesn't matter if they're staying with the parents or grandparents. They have no boundaries. And the reason why the children, I can tell you this just from 2 weeks ago. I arrested someone with over 3 pounds of marijuana, a child, 15 years old, on a bicycle, who just got through stealing some candy at a store, which engaged me into him leaving on that bike. In his bag that was unzipped, 3 pounds of marijuana. But his job was to run the marijuana for his brother so his brother wouldn't get in trouble. So what happens is I have an older brother who has me riding my bike, and I'm doing drop-offs for him. And if I get caught, I go to juvenile. They do my paperwork.
Right.
I stay for a day or two days. Then I'm released until I go to court. And then they send me to boot camp for 28 days, and I come back home. My brother pays me $2,000 for making that delivery at the age of 15. I've got $2,000 in my pocket at the age of 15. He doesn't put that money on my books. He puts that money in my draw. So when I come back from the 28-day program, I've got $2,000, which makes me want to go do it again. There's no laws that are actually holding people accountable for their actions. That's what that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree with you because I've heard the stories many a times, and that's what the way it works. When I used to live in California, there was a notorious drug dealer in California, and when they finally brought him down, it wasn't in L.A. He was in Chicago, over $60,000 worth of jewelry on. You think about it. $60,000 worth of jewelry on his personal. He was wearing it. Okay? They were watching. His name was Ray Ray Brown. Okay? And you folks that might be listening from the West Coast, you all know who Ray Ray was. But, you know, he was very intelligent. Very smart guy. He just took his intelligence into the, you know, the crime field. But again, you know, it's sad. The killings that's been going on recently, and because I have to change up the whole show in a sense, or change up what we're going to talk about. Right now, the time is 7:37 p.m. East Coast time, and I'm glad to have all of you guys here listening in, and my special guest is Officer Lane Harper, and we're going to get into what he does, you know, for the community, not just his own, but communities in other states. It is so important. It's so important for you guys to listen and look at where not every officer is bad. But truly, you guys know Officer Crenshaw. He's been a co-host here. Unfortunately, he's not available this evening to join the show. But, you know, he's been here for years with us, and he's shared his knowledge and everything. You know, every officer is bad. There are some great things, but it's not up to the police alone. It's up to the community. It's up to the community. If you want shit right, and yes, I say shit, I normally don't cuss or use those type of words, but if you want shit right, you got it. You got to work on it. You got to talk to your young folks. They don't want to listen. Okay, at least you try. But there's a lot of individuals in certain communities who, as we just said, I have no control over them. Yes, you do. You have many options. You can say, hey, look, this is my child. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they're acting this way. And you know what? Maybe you need to talk to your child if you can and try to get some help as far as getting a psychiatrist to talk to them. Now, you might say, well, I can afford one. No, there are programs out there that's free of charge to get assistance to talk to your child that you feel like is going down the wrong road. Am I right, Officer Harper?
You're very right. I just want to elaborate on something also, since I spoke about teachers. We talked about officers. We talked about people who work in the juvenile facilities. And I just wanted to go back and say, for all these hardworking teachers out here, I commend you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see how they deal with children. And I also see children striking teachers. I see teachers getting hit. I see teachers getting pushed over chairs. These
right.
teachers, not all these teachers are young and bunnies. They're 50, 60-year-old trying to stay in the system because they believe in something, and they have no support.
Right.
So we're losing all the veterans, all the real teachers who actually know how to come up with an assessment plan, a treatment plan, educational co-advocacy when the parents are not around. We're losing that because our school system doesn't even have support. So what my question to you, Mike, is what can we
sure.
do to build a support system to let teachers know these children who cut up, they can't come back tomorrow. They're not getting suspended. They're not getting put out of school. And if they are, they're coming back within 30 days. And they just push you over a chair or threw something at you. I don't know what to say. Because
this is where the local government, well, okay, so to answer your question, this is where the local, I mean, because it can't be national, but okay, that's a good question. When you have a student or a youngster, okay, I'm going to use that because they're not a student because they don't want to be taught, a youngster who's defiant in that way, there should be, in my opinion, where maybe our local government, our school, individuals do an investigation and then look at it where, okay, if they want to be this way, then we have to, you know, actually come up with something where, you know, they have a thing of where you could be emancipated, right, to where a young child can go ahead and just be considered an adult in a sense, right? Where they don't want to be with their parents anymore. They're emancipated, right? So put that into the whole thing. If they want to buck the law or be disrespectful in the classroom towards the teacher and everything, then make them where they, okay, so we're going to go ahead and emancipate you where now you are an adult. And we have the right to say you cannot be on school's campuses. If you're going to buck the law, follow what I'm saying. If you don't want the education, you just want to be a tyrant in the classroom, we're not going to allow that. You understand my point? There's a way to do that because the government, right, there's a way to do that. Because let's be realistic, you guys. You know, I love my black community. I support the black community. But when we're wrong, we're wrong. And we don't step up, we don't speak out, then we're part of the problem. And that's how come we're having this conversation right now. We have to look at, there has to be an answer to the issues. We know what's going on. And we sit up here, many shows sit up and say, well, this is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, where's the answer? If you don't like the white man's answer, what's the black man's answer? Because it's happening in your home. It's happening with your kids. So where's the answer? We could talk about it to a blue, black, purple, whatever in the face. There has to be an answer because it's going to continue. And the killing is going to continue until we, as a society, as a culture, address what's happening in our own community, own communities. So that's my answer. That we can, I mean, you know, and we got a lot of black individuals who are in politics that can actually look at whatever we, the community, discuss and say, what's best for our safety? Not just for ourselves, but for our children who are coming up that is not part of that criminal activity, right? What's best? We have to stop making excuses. We have to stop saying that this not exists. It does. And I have to be honest, in my own point of view, unfortunately, the black community, when it comes to crime, is on the headlines all the time. But there's a lot of crimes that happen in the white community, but the white community controls the media. We have to change that narrative. That's how I see it. I may be wrong, but like Charles Barkley says, but I doubt it. We are the ones that's always on the news. We're always the one in the camera. We're always the face of it. The media always goes to the black community. But there's a lot of crimes that happen in the white neighborhoods you never hear about, and you won't unless it's a high level crime. You know what I'm saying? Someone with money and everything. But the shit that we do, it happens in other communities too. They just don't tell you it. They don't tell you about it. But we have to work together and just be honest about ourselves. You being an officer and knowing, what I know about you and what you do, you know, I commend you. I really appreciate you being here this evening and sharing, you know, what you do. And then I want to segue to the foundation. Tell everybody what you do outside of the police department, the foundation that you have with other individuals and all the things. I know we touched on it briefly, but give us more information about the foundation.
Well, if anybody would like to read about it, they can go on the Power of Life Foundation.org or .com. They say the power is in the book, so sometimes we have to open the computer. The Power of Life Foundation.org or .com, Lane Harper. And what we do, we have the mentoring programs. Earlier, we spoke about interviews and not being properly dressed. For the event that we just had at Alabama State, we gave away interview clothing, ties, shoes, dress socks, tie clips for people that may not know how to tie ties. and bow ties. So it was just dresses, skirts, pantyhose. So this is what we're doing. We're going to schools, doing mentorship, Q&A questions. People might have questions about particular things dealing with law enforcement. I'll speak on that briefly. But sometimes I go to schools. It might start off as a law enforcement interview question, but then we end up talking about the Power of Life Foundation. So what we're doing is just we're right now operating in the states of Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Michigan. And what we're doing is going into, like I said earlier, into areas where people are living at or below poverty level. We're focusing on juvenile children. This is going to be our new angle for 2023. We're finding that more people are interested in saving our youth versus saving our elders. So we want to concentrate in areas where we have more support, and we need your support. And we just do Big Brother, Big Sister programs. We go into areas and bless people with clothing, food, shelter. We're even paying bills, power bills, utility bills, home bills. We don't want you to get put out. We'll give you that extension, 30 days. We don't want the sheriff department to come out and put your stuff out by the time you get off of work. So we're just trying to do so much with so many people in so many states. And sometimes it's hard to keep up, but I think we've done very well. We just need the support of the community. And what I'm going to say is crime sells. But all these foundations out here, including mine, we're doing so many positive things, and it seems like nobody talks about the positive. So I would just challenge everyone who's in the sound of my voice to go to the Power of Life Foundation and read about us, see what we do. If you want to hit the donation
button. Well,
you
see where you are now, right? You see where you are now, because I want to hear the positive.
Hey, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But we're just trying to bless people, and we want people to have the opportunities that they've never had before. At a certain level in life, whichever level that is in your personal life, we want you to always reach back and at least bring someone up to where you are now. Because a lot of us move strategically, but once we get in place, I see that a lot of people get to where they want to be. They forget how they got there and don't want to help anyone out, forgetting how many people helped them to get where they are. So we always want to get back.
And that is sad. Yeah, you're right. That is very sad that where, you just said something, you touched on a nerve on me where that happens even in everyday life with folks. I'm looking at the board and I see a lot of 205 numbers here for you guys that are calling in on the 205. The ones that have not chimed in, I see 205-5541. Keep in mind that all you have to do is just hit the number one, and then I can see that you're waving your hand if you have a question or comment. The other 205s that are here on the board, if you have any questions or comments, let me know. I heard someone just try to chime in. Was that Timon?
Mm-hmm.
Mike, can you hear me?
Is that you, Tommy? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, I was just going to say we're helping. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to also let everybody know that we're trying to get kids into college with these different STEM subjects with financial literacy, computer literacy. We're doing turkey events. We're doing coat giveaways. We have food programs. And we're in the process of planning to build a transitional housing unit for males, co-ed, so males and females. But this doesn't just come from us. Our brains are in the right place, but we need the support of the communities that we're trying to engage. So we have a lot going.
Exactly.
We just need to keep moving.
Well, I got a few folks who are starting to respond to my request to chime in. I have a number here, 850-264. I've never seen this area code before, but I'm going to open up your mic.
Hit that one.
And welcome to the show. Please say your name and where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hi, I'm Teresa Berger. I'm calling from Tallahassee, Florida, and I'm the other half of the Power Life Foundation. I just wanted to chime in and say thank you guys for acknowledging us, all the work that we do across the country. I appreciate you helping us to make people more aware of the foundation.
Well, thank you for calling in and sharing that. So you're okay, so you just said that you're in Tallahassee, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's amazing. Okay, so as you guys just heard, where Officer Harper, you know, who's in Birmingham, so this is not a local program. It's nationwide, to be honest, because they're crossing state lines, okay? They're in Florida. They're in, you know, this is great. I love this conversation. This is great of what you do. So, Teresa, hold on for a moment. But you guys did an event for Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
Did you do this event in both states, or was it just one? I mean, and just kind of share with us of what you did during Thanksgiving.
So you want to take it, Teresa, or you want me? You got it. Okay.
I'll take it. Yeah. Last year we were in both states. We did it at Florida A&M University. It was the first time they had a Thanksgiving event on campus. And then and we did it in Birmingham as well last year. And then this year we just did it in Birmingham. We tried to concentrate. There was a huge need. I do a lot of research, and we saw that the poverty index in Birmingham had actually increased, and people were kind of struggling trying to come through the pandemic, and we wanted to serve a large number of people. So we had nearly 600 turkeys. We served all the people, including a firehouse shelter and one housing project that Officer Harper works in. So one of the projects we always go to, like, he jumps out of the truck, and it was like, "Hey, Mr. Lane," you know, the kids are saying, "Hey, Mr. Lane," they know him by first name. These are some of the beat squads. So he goes out and he wants to give back. He'll say, "Save someone for one of my communities." But we serve people. They were lined up early in the morning, and we don't give turkeys. We give turkeys and fixings and all kind of stuff. It costs us a lot of money, but the first thank you is worth any dollar that you can spend, just knowing that people are grateful. Because now, coming out of the pandemic, the economy is still kind of suffering, and they have to make a choice.
Right.
Are we going to buy food and be together, or are we going to pay this light bill? And so we want to ease that burden any way that we can. And so we did that. We gave to the public. There was no sign up. You have to sign up or you can't get this turkey. We gave two turkeys per car. And then we went to the firehouse shelter because it was really cold outside, and they were making food, meals for the homeless people. And we gave them 12 whole turkeys. And then we went to a housing project, and he gave turkeys away to some of the people on his beat. So we felt really
okay. So I have to ask
that.
You this question real quick. I'm sorry, but I have to ask you this, and that's fantastic. I mean, I saw the video of what you guys did, and that's just so amazing. But my question is this: is that where? Okay, so you guys did it for Thanksgiving. Are you guys prepared to do it for Christmas? And the things that, see, for me, I'm going to be honest, it's great to go ahead and give during the holiday season. But what happens throughout the year? I saw where you guys had a lot of sponsorships, right?
Yes.
Am I right or wrong? You had I'm sorry?
I said you're right. Yes.
Right. You had Walmart, you had Target, and a bunch of other companies, major companies that have billionaire, you know, and then when I look at the numbers, what you're sharing, you know, and all due respect, that's great, but I'm looking at the names that you have there. I'm like, Walmart, Target, everything. And I'm like, these are billionaire companies. I mean, they bought a football team, you know, and then as the winter comes, how come I'm not hearing anything from them to try to help the homeless and this and the other? And I'm sorry, I shouldn't even go into that, but I'm not saying that that's great that they're helping you out. But what's your plan for Christmas holidays? You did a great job.
Okay, during the holidays.
You did
ongoing,
a great job.
During the holidays, usually we do our winter coat giveaways where it's going to be cold outside. So rather than always giving toys, we give winter coats, blankets, sometimes sleeping tents, socks, scarves, hats. We go in communities and we give. And we don't just give on the holidays. If you've seen our YouTube page, we give to these HBCUs because they have a large number of homeless students that are sleeping in their cars. So we go to HBCUs and give to students all year long. Sometimes it's portable food items. Sometimes it's clothes. Sometimes it's personal care items like deodorant and tampons and lotion and things like that. We go all year long. We're giving, not just on a holiday. And then if people call us and say, hey, we need you guys here. Now, we have huge sponsors, Walmart, Amazon, and all that. But we're dealing with these corporations on a local level. We're trying to get into the regional and to the statewide so they can actually see us. But we have to start locally and prove what we could do before they make it bigger. We don't know the big players. We're doing work of big players, but a lot of this we have to actually purchase at a reduced rate.
Okay. I understand that. And I appreciate you sharing that and making that very clear to me because I was thinking a different, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
we have to talk more.
We'd love them to give us $1 million.
You know, I mean, what you guys are doing is fantastic. And like I said, when I met Officer Harper, and he was on, you know, a while back, and briefly because I had a – well, that's a different story. I already shared that. I truly appreciate him, and I'm glad that he came back and you join in. I'd like for you guys to come back more and share more, but I really want to go to the board here. I see a lot of folks here that have their hands up, and they might have some questions or comments. So I have to go to the lady of the house, Janet Davis. Do you have a question or comment before we get out of here? I extended the time. Normally we are off air at 8, but I added extra few more minutes. Janet, you have any more questions or comments? And I'm going to go down the line with all of the panelists and callers that have their hands waved. Go ahead, Janet.
Just a comment. I'm just excited to hear about all the things that this organization is doing, you know, for the community. And, you know, just keep up the good work. I'm just excited about all the things that you're doing.
Thank you.
So you're going to follow their website, which, in fact, I want you guys to share the information how we can follow you. I want to go to Cotton Campbell, the host of two shows, actually, here on the TMGN. And then I want to let her go ahead and share that. Cotton, you have any questions or comments? Is Cotton still here? Okay. I guess not. Okay. Did I miss anybody? No, 111 is there. Okay, so I thought that Cotton Campbell was still here with us. Thought I saw her number still on the board. And also I see another 205 number. Your mic is open. Do you have a question or comment before we get off air? I guess everybody's trying to play Casper and be ghost because I have their mics open. I don't get it, you know. I guess they're kind of nervous. You know, I'm like, unmute yourself. Your mic is open. You know, you can talk, but they just want to be quiet. Anybody else from the 205 family that have a final question or comment?
I would like to say something, Michael. Good evening, everybody.
Oh, there you go. We have one. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say this show has been really amazing. Listening to everybody's comments and listening to Officer Hopper, thank you for what you do. Thank you for being that gap, what we need with the homeless, the children, just everybody. Thank you for what you do. And it's not like this is something that is don't come easy for you. You have been doing this, and it's not a thing that you just thought of this. You have this gift. God has given you a gift. You have started from getting stuff out of your car. I'm from Birmingham, and I know that people have always talked about Officer Hopper, Officer Hopper. Officer Hopper is a giver. He gives from his heart, and I just want to thank you for being a gap, doing what you do. Keep doing it because God knows what you're doing. God will put the right people in your path to keep
Amen.
You doing what you got the vision. God gave you the vision. Keep that up. Shine for God. And just know that God is on your side.
Wow.
I appreciate that.
Officer Harper, is that a shocker to you? Because it sure as hell would be to me. I'm sorry I said hell, but because that was awesome there. Is that a surprise to you?
I appreciate that, and nothing is a surprise when you know who your father is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Well, you have a lot of great supporters. I have to say that individual, they contacted me and said, I didn't know that Officer Harper was going to be on your show. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't let you know immediately, but it was kind of like not quickly planned, but I'm glad it was put together. There's a few other folks here, and I'm going to go ahead and let us go. I really enjoyed this conversation, to be honest. I've been blessed to have a lot of great guests on this show, major celebrities I've had on the show. But, you know, this one here is for the memory banks. For me, and I'm sure for all my co-hosts, Janet, I'm sure for you too, because we talked about a lot of things. We talked about our community, our children, and our faults. We do have some faults, but I'm glad that we're trying to correct them, and hopefully with you, Officer Harper, with what I've been blessed to have is to share and conversate with, we can actually make some of these things that we have concerns about and correct them and make it a reality of where, you know, it is solved, not completely, but in some areas. You follow me? That we can network and try to solve some problems in some communities. I appreciate everybody here that chime in, and it's always a concern to me what's happening to our children. Again, when I look at the two individuals, the two young kids who lost their lives that didn't even see the age of 18 just within the last week, and the stories go on and on. I don't have to go into each story. But there has to be a stop. We can't get to the point of where we are immune to death. we can't get to that point. When you hear about a person being killed and the way they're being killed, how they were killed, why they were killed, we can't get immune to the of a person being killed, unarmed, murdered. Life is supposed to be about. It's not. Especially in our communities, that is not acceptable. We can't turn a blind eye to a woman who's walking down the street with her baby and all of a sudden she's in a crossfire or with some stupid-ass beef. Some stupid beef. Girlfriend over music, whatever the case may be, and innocent people are being killed. We can't turn a blind eye and look at it where I'm afraid to say something. Let me tell you something. I ain't afraid of shit. I don't fear no man. Excuse my language. I fear no man. I fear no man. I fear the wrath of God if I don't speak up, if I witness it. We have to look at it where the black community, we are the most powerful people, one of the most powerful individuals in, I mean, seriously, we have so much. We've gone through so much, I should say. Our ancestors have. And the thing is that what's sad is that our youth don't understand that. Many individuals have died for the freedom that our youth, and they don't give a shit. I'm not trying to make this racist, but I'm just being honest. I have decided that we're on my show, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about where do we have respect for ourselves? Young and old, our race. We ain't going to blame the white man anymore. How about blaming ourselves? Because once we start taking accountability of our faults, maybe things will be for the better. But right now, it's not. People say, that's old school. You know what? History repeats itself, young man. History repeats itself. Whatever is old school, it will be new again. Trust me. It will be new again. And you have to understand that. You guys take old school music and make it a new rap song. History repeats itself. There's nothing new under the damn sun. It's just been redone. I know you guys are probably saying, Mike, what the hell are you talking about? I'm talking reality. It's the truth. And you have to understand that. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight. And before I do that, I want to go ahead and put it back to my co-host, the lady of the house, Ms. Janet Davis. What's your last words for this evening's conversation? And then I'm going to reach out to our special guest. Janet, what did you think about this show tonight? Okay, Janet's not there. Officer, hold on a minute. I have to look at the board. I'm sorry, you guys. I have to step away from the board for a moment. Make sure I'm seeing who's all here. Oh, okay. Janet had dropped. All right, so Officer Harper, thank you so much. I appreciate you. What's your final words for the rest of this evening? How did you think about the show? I truly appreciate you. And what's your last words you want to share with all the listeners?
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I thank God for allowing the light to shine. where it needs to shine. And me and you spoke a couple days ago. I just wanted to say, with the Black Lives Matter movement, if we can get together and protest, if we can get together and protest in the time of need, we should be able to get together with the powerful Black community that we have, with the knowledge that we have, and come up with programs and come together as we protest and come up with different ideas and programs and everything that we can do to help our community and help our young children so we can steer our Black children in a different direction with positive role models, positive activities, giving our children something to do, giving our children something to think about. We don't need to just come together in bad times to protest. Put in work. One thing that I heard when I pledged into a fraternity, they said, it's so easy to get in. But once you're in, you actually have to do some work. So whatever organization that you're with, Black Lives Matter, fraternities, sororities, educational groups, challenge each other to create something where Black lives matter, where we actually have a movement to better our community. I challenge you.
Amen. You know what? You're definitely on point. And I'm, you know, I want to make sure that the folks who are here, I want to make sure that, and there's a bunch of 205s here, and I want you guys to share your last thoughts. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not going to apologize. I'm just real about the fact that I've been blessed to have a platform here, and I thank you guys all for chiming in, and I'm going to use it for, you know, the benefit of just educating and, you know, having Officer Harper on, all of you guys on, and whoever hears your voices and hears what you have to say, that's a blessing. So I just want each of you to go ahead and share your thoughts of what you think, you know, what we could do better and what you're doing. And also, before we go, please share your contact information. That's so important. Is major. Let me go to Teresa. Are you still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Share your final thoughts and share your contact information.
Okay, so my final thoughts were it's a great show. It's really important about what's going on today. I actually lost my nephew to gun violence this summer playing a basketball game. And so I realized that there's no education. We're not even voting. We'll march for something that we feel like the police did to individuals, but what are we? We're not marching for what we're doing to each other. We're not even going to the polls to make sure our legislation is geared towards Black people. So those movements, we need to vamp up. I like the challenge that Officer Harper put out. We challenge to create these organizations. There's no money for youth organizations. They're thinking, you know, selling dope is the way to go, and gangbanging is the way to go, and nobody's teaching them about the stock market where they can make the same $1,000 a day. So I just think there's a need for more education, more mentoring, and I appreciate you having us on. You know, we're trying to make an impact in the community. The communities that we give in, Officer Harper goes in and does those nonviolent presentations as well. It's just another way to get in. When people see that you care about them on other avenues, they're more likely to allow you to talk to their children. So we appreciate you bringing the awareness to Officer Harper and the foundation. I just want to say thank you.
All right. Thank you. You know, I like that you said that because here's the thing. I mean, some of you all know my history that listens to the network. I used to do it for another one. I always love to hear from the youth. So if you guys know a young individual, I'm putting this out here. I want to give a young individual their own show on this network. and individuals that can bring their peers, bring their, you know, their friends on and have their own show. It's totally paid for. Okay? That's where you start. I want to do that. And we're going to do that. So if you guys know someone who, you know, has inspired to have their own show and everything, please let me know. It's paid for. They can have their own, you know, crew and everything. I ain't talking about where they'd be like, hey, ho. No, not that type of thing. But an intelligent young individual doing something and wants to share that with their peers or their friends where they can communicate with each other, because we have to hear their points of view, right? You know, as adults, I'm 60 years old. I mean, I work around some young folks on a daily basis, but for them to have their own and communicate, the ones that are doing positive stuff, they don't have that platform. So I'm offering it, okay? Gwen, are you still here? Gwen in Birmingham?
I am, sorry. I'm still here. I'm here.
Okay. What's your final thoughts? Because we have only about 20 minutes left.
Okay.
10 minutes on top.
My thoughts, and ending with a straight shot to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is that, I'm sorry, y'all. Oh, my nerves, man. Hold on. What I'm saying is that you out 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord, Officer Hopper, Blaine Hopper Power Life Foundation. Trust in the Lord with all that heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all their ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. He has done that. And I'm just saying this because it's so touching and it's so amazing to see how one black man can get and have a vision and took that vision and what God gave you, and you're still taking that vision. Always acknowledge him first because God has you. It's just that you just keep leaning on him. God has all of us. And it's just, I know it's not you, but it's the God that's in you. And I know you have people working with you and up under you, but God gave you that vision. Take that vision, Blaine Hopper, Officer Blaine Hopper. Use what God gave you. And I'm sorry if I might be stepping on somebody's toes. I'm sorry, but God's given me this. Because it's just so touching how you do a lot. You out there. You're here in Birmingham. Mm. You're out here doing it. You're out here. Do it. Keep doing what God wants you to do, even though you have help, but you still do it. You still lean on God. God giving you that power to do that, the power of life. He's giving Lane Hopper that power. You're by yourself doing whatever you got to do here in Birmingham, from being out there patrolling, doing whatever you do, teaching. You're amazing. God sees that. And there's somebody that's going to see that and take you higher to higher heights. Just lean on God. That's all I have to say. And I'm just sorry. I'm wrong, but God has given me that. I just want you to lean not into your
okay.
own understanding. Because yeah. it's not your understanding. It's God's understanding.
I feel you, my sister. You are definitely on point. You know, again, Officer Hopper, he was on the show before, and I scheduled him a few months back, right, Officer Hopper? And actually, I had him come on just before I had Karen White, and a music icon. And thankfully, he stayed on the show and listened to the interview we have. But I knew that we did not give him enough time, so I'm glad that he agreed to come on this evening. There's another individual at 205-541. If you have a question or comment, hit the number one. You haven't raised your hand. And I have about maybe 8 minutes left. So 205-541. Yeah, 205-541. I see that you're listening in. If you have a question or comment, go ahead and hit the number one. Officer Hopper, I think you were about to say something.
Well, I was just going to say I appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity once again. I appreciate the listeners. And it's always time to move forward. Never be stagnant. It's okay to be comfortable, but don't be stagnant. Keep on moving.
and move in a direction where anybody who has negative energy, get it away from you and focus on the positive. We have, like, we focus so hard on so many of the negative issues out here in our society, but there's so much good, and I think we all need to just grab on to the things that are good, not disengaging what's not healthy, but focusing and giving more of your time on healthier subjects. Just let's keep moving forward.
And, you know, I agree with you. We do talk about what happens in our communities, the negative, but you have to share that, because a lot of folks don't. You know, what I've learned is this, and I mean, it's a different show, but I'm 60 years old, and I've looked at, you know, different things and what people pay attention to. They pay attention to all these certain shows, these reality shows, which are not reality and everything. You have to look at what is real and what's not. And unfortunately, a lot of folks are looking at the fake stuff. You know what I'm saying? They look at that and look at that being real life, and it's not. You have to be honest with yourself and look at, in my opinion now, look at where, you know, this is entertainment and this is real. You have to differentiate, right? What you guys do is real. There's people out there that are hungry and you're feeding them. That's real. They're not coming there to get food just, you know, they're coming there because they're hungry, trying to feed their family themselves. And this happens not just during Thanksgiving or Christmas. It happens 365 days a year. So I commend you all. I appreciate what you're doing, and hopefully it will get bigger and larger. And granted, there are people who take advantage of stuff, right? But I'm sure you can weed that out and really help the people in need. And that's what it's all about. We got to help out folks who really need. It's winter time. It's going to get colder than what it is now out there. It lasts all the way through March. This is winter. But organizations like yourselves are doing more than just feeding, but clothing. You know, I take my hat off to you. Not many people would do so. Help out folks like you guys do. So I thank you so much, and hopefully you'll come back and share more information of what you're doing in different states and what you do throughout the year. Seriously, I truly love and appreciate you.
Thank you, Mike. I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're going to get out of here. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It was it's been really interesting. I've learned a lot from this organization, this foundation. I've learned a lot. I'm going to do my own research on a lot of things about organizations and foundations. But this one here actually brought, you know, this one here really I'm going to follow on a regular basis, always invite them to come back. To see what they're doing, because I've never been one to really pay attention to these type of situations. You always hear about, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, but this organization does it year-round, not just in their local community, but in other states. Think about that. They share the blessings that they get from people to bless others. Think about that. They cross state lines, feed and clothe people. Think about that. And it's not impossible to make this foundation grow and become larger and more supporters. It's not impossible. And it probably won't take too much of your time to help and your energy. Probably not. So with that being said, thank you guys for tuning in to TMTS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll see you next Saturday. You know we are that show. We are that variety show. We have different topics and special guests, and that's what we do. Thank you. And I'm trying to find something. I'm going to be honest. I'm trying to find my closing theme on my board, and I'm like, where did it go? So I'm just randomly talking as I'm like on my computer going like, where the heck did this song go? But you know what? How about I do something a little different? You guys ready for the holidays?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Okay, you're ready for the holidays. Fantastic. All right, so I'm going to end the show tonight with something different. I already played In Vogue, I believe. So I'm going to go ahead and give you guys something that you may remember. Let's go back to the rap days. And I'm going to close out with Curtis Blow, Christmas Rap. Good night, you guys. God bless. Peace.
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the...
Hold it. That's played out. Hit it.
You give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, rock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap about to happen like a D. You was slapping, or I told you been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red suit or two with a friendly attitude and a slave full of goodies for the people on the block. Got a long white beard, maybe look kind of weird, and if you ever see him, he can give you quite a shock. Now people, let me tell you about last year when the dude came flying over here. Well, the home was out, snow was on the ground. Down. The beat was thumping on the box, and I was dancing in my socks, and the drummer played at a solid pace, and the taste of the bass was in my face, and the guitar player lay down.